Good evening. Okay, does anybody else miss watching the Olympics? Ever since I can remember, I've been watching Michael Phelps swim in the Olympics, and now watching Usain Bolt sprint. That man can run. All the swimmers, sprinters, gymnasts, and weightlifters may spend more than 5 hours a day training for years. You don't walk up to an Olympic weightlifter and say, "Hey, give me that 400-pound barbell. I can lift it." Unless you were wanting to break a few bones. You could go into a swimming pool, put on the goggles and the swim cap, you could put on all the cool gear, do all the right stretches, but you're still not an Olympic swimmer. Christians sometimes try similar spiritual shortcuts. We may sleep in on Sundays, thinking we can catch the next Sunday, or you can decide it's not a big deal to skip youth group because you decide other things are more important. Just like Olympic swimmers may practice with a team or coach, Christians need other Christians to help them with our spiritual training. Hebrews 10:24-25 tells us, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." This means take as many chances as you are given to get together with your church family. God gives us this spiritual family to help and encourage us, our safe place against the rest of the world. Romans 1:12, New King James Version says, "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." And Hebrews 3:13, New American Standard says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Just like preparing for the Olympics takes time, dedication, and sacrifice, so does the process of maturing your faith. Worshiping, reading the Bible, and learning about God with other followers is similar to spending time at the gym. I don't always feel like going to church, and reading my Bible is hard. In Bible practice, we're studying Leviticus. Talk about hard. Imagine living by this law. Leviticus 6:15-18 says, He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering, with its oil, and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it Aaron and his son shall eat with unleavened bread, it shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as the portion of my offering made by fire. It is most holy. Like the sin offering and the trespass offering, all the males among the children of Aaron made it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Everyone who touches them must be holy. Seriously, I mean, can you imagine having to do all those things? There were five offerings: burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, and sin offering, and trespass offering, all depending on the type of sin committed. With Jesus, we only have to repent and be baptized. He has given us very simple instructions, and his blood has covered us with grace. God has given me a pretty strong church family with a great preacher, a fun and dedicated youth minister, and a youth group with kids going through the same daily struggles as me, but all that helps encourage me through all of it. I know these things will build my spiritual strength to face whatever this world throws at me, but I also know that I can't do it alone. The Bible tells me this, but it also has taught me that I have the greatest spiritual trainer, God. Through his word, I can see how he wants me to follow him. Through his gift of this church, I can have the courage to do so. Through his loving sacrifice, his son, I have the freedom to live as his disciple, sharing his love with others. His word also lets me know that just as I am encouraged by my spiritual family, I'm to encourage others with the same love. But as important it is to let this love show inside the church, it is also crucial to show outside the church. Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." One of the greatest encouragers we can learn from the Bible is Jesus. Mark 6:34 says, "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Just like an Olympian would not be an Olympian without a coach, we as Christians would not be Christians without Christ. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Matthew 14. Jesus' disciples were in a boat at night, sleeping, and when they woke up, they saw him walking on the sea. Like you or I would be, they were terrified. They freaked out in fear and thought it was a ghost. Jesus said to them, Matthew 14:27, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." What Jesus wants us to know here is there is nothing to be afraid of, as long as you're with him. Well, this might not happen again today, this lesson important to generations to come, that with strong faith and belief in Jesus, he is just as close to us as he was to Peter. It's important to realize in this story that Jesus wasn't the only one walking on water. In verse 29, Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Jesus still says, "Come," today. Although we can't literally walk toward him physically, we can spiritually, each and every day. Just like Peter, we will sometimes become frightened and begin to sink. Jesus will always stretch out his hand and take hold of us. We need to be the light of the world to others, easy to recognize by our good deeds, so that those who need us can recognize him in us, so that we can lead them to him. In Matthew 14:36, Scripture says, "And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought him to all who were sick." So as we strengthen our faith in Jesus by reading and studying his word, we should remember to encourage each other, to lift each other up. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, "For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls, for there is another to lift him up." But woe, when I read this word woe, it makes me nervous. It sounds very anxious. I looked it up. Dictionary.com says that woe means grievous distress, affliction, or trouble. When I say nervous or anxious, it's for the ones that don't have a strong church family behind them. That's why we need to get as many people as we can involved in the church. Maybe you bring someone to a Sunday evening service. They might get fired up about a sermon and end up getting baptized. It's as simple as saying, "Hey, would you like to come to church with me tonight?" Those were 10 simple words that could easily change someone's life. But when we're talking about baptism, it's not about someone's life. It's about their eternity. Let's look at it like there are three different ways you can encourage someone: listening, talking, and showing. First, I think you have to listen to someone. You have to understand how someone feels about a topic before you can talk or show someone about God. People have to believe you care about them. By listening to what they have to say, it shows them this. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 2:2, "Making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding." Jesus shows us an example of listening to others in John 2 when he changed water into wine. If he had not taken the time to listen to this at the wedding, we would not have the miracle of him changing water into wine. For me, this is a personal challenge. I like to talk. I need to work on hearing others more clearly. I need to slow down and just listen. Now separate from what I just said is talking. This is a little easier for me. But it's not for everyone. We need to encourage others by speaking. Although in James we read about how the tongue can be a bad thing, we should also try to use our voice for good. In James 3, verses 4 through 5, says, "Look at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things." Our words should build others up, spreading his good news. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 says, "You who bring news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." Our boasting should always be in Jesus, and we should always try to be like him in using our tongues to encourage and bring others up. So, go out this week and talk to someone that no one else talks to. That kid at lunch sitting by themselves, or the elderly lady standing at the line at the store. Look around. There's someone. Finally, showing. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Our works are because we are saved in him, not so we are saved. We should spend our time showing his love to others. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." So this week, buy a stranger's lunch, or help an elderly person with their groceries, or a kid with their homework. Right, Matt? These things that seem small to us that we are doing them are anything but small to someone having a bad day. The ultimate gift we are given by God through the sacrifice of his son. But before that sacrifice, we have examples of Jesus helping others. Jesus healed the sick, lame, blind, and afflicted. He comforted the hurting, and he still comforts us today. His promise is for all of us. The sacrifices today aren't always as large. We still have examples of people doing amazing things here on earth for others. One of our jobs as Christians is to encourage and help our brothers and sisters in Christ to try to be more like Christ. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for our failures, Lord, for they teach us. Lord, thank you for unanswered prayers. Lord, thank you for the unknown. Lord, be with us as we depart from here, Lord. Thank you for your Son's holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.